This is The Draft Room with Brian Lowe. The Draft Room is your exclusive look inside the NFL Draft.
Okay, so we're moving down and giving up a six. We'll give them a fifth.
Think you know who will go in the top 10, whose stock is rising, and whose is falling?
There's a lot of guys with good value on those spots.
Who will Mr. Irrelevant be this year? You'll find out as we go inside The Draft Room with Brian Lowe.
And welcome inside the Draft Room. It's a Wednesday closing in on the 2011 NFL Draft. My name is Brian Lowe, here with you over the next hour to talk about the 2011 NFL Draft. You know, the NFL schedule came out yesterday. The draft is 8 days away. Signs that we're going to have football this year. There's a lot of stuff still going on in Minnesota this week. Mediation, court cases. We know all that, but hopefully they get that all straightened out so we can combine the schedule that came out yesterday with the players that are drafted by teams next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, put those all together, take free agency, take existing rosters and all that, and we can have football starting on Thursday, September 8th, and the NFL season will be underway. Let's hope. So we're talking NFL draft here, the third of our five shows here during this period of time inside the draft room. You can check in with us, webradio@patriots.com. You can call us as well, 508-543-7482. Rob Rang from CBSSports.com, NFLDraftScout.com. He will join us during this hour. He has great insight. He really has an interesting story as well in terms of what his role in the draft process is. We'll have some insight from him. He has a mock draft, a latest mock draft that came out on Monday. We'll analyze and dissect that. As you scour around the internet and look at mock drafts, as we're now 8 days away from the draft, I feel like there are three things that are pretty set in stone, in my opinion. I think Cam Newton going number one overall to Carolina is becoming a sure thing. In fact, I feel so confident about that that if this were any other year where teams could discuss contracts with rookies, if teams could, come to agreements with any player at this point, I think this maybe would have been a year where Cam Newton would come to an agreement before the draft even began. We saw that with Jake Long and the Dolphins a couple of years ago. I think Cam Newton to Carolina is a lock. They need a quarterback. They need a face of the franchise type. I am not 100% convinced that Cam Newton is going to be a Pro Bowl NFL player, but I think he has enough quality attributes, enough charisma, personality, and skill and athleticism that the Panthers can't pass him up, both because of what he's going to bring to them on the field. Maybe not this year. This is going to be a tough year for rookies to make an immediate impact. But long range, a guy that can get a fan base excited, I think Cam Newton's that guy. I think he goes to Carolina number one. And number two, Marcell Dareus to Denver. Another one of these players where I think there's a lot of guys that could be in the mix as far as second best player in the draft. But I think Marcell Dareus, in terms of the position that he fills for Denver and the fact that he is at a position that is generally hard to find in the NFL, big defensive tackle, maybe a nose tackle in a 3-4. He could probably play 3-4 or 4-3. I think he goes to Denver, the worst run defense in the league, and I think he has a chance to be one of these types of rookies, a rare type of rookie that can make an immediate impact. He will start from day one for Denver, and he'll be a pretty productive pro for the Broncos going forward. So I think Cam Newton number one and Marcell Dareus number two are pretty much locks. I think 3, 4, 5, I think Von Miller goes to Buffalo, and I think Cincinnati takes a quarterback. I think they take Blaine Gabbert. A.J. Green seems to be the consensus. Who am I to say that it won't be A.J. Green? But I think Blaine Gabbert is going to be a guy they won't pass up because they'll realize, you know what, Carson Palmer coming back just doesn't look likely. And Blaine Gabbert will go there, and that will either leave Arizona with taking A.J. Green or maybe taking a guy like Robert Quinn, something like that. But I think at number 7, the San Francisco 49ers, I think a lock there is Patrick Peterson. And if by some chance Patrick Peterson has already gone, then I think Prince Amukamara could be a guy there. So I think 1, 2, and 7 are the positions in this year's draft that to me are set in stone. Cam Newton 1, Marcell Dareus 2, and Patrick Peterson number 7. A lot of others are up in the air. And I think when you look at you know, mock draft, when you look at, you know, the quote unquote big boards, the rankings, overall rankings of players, regardless of team, you know, you look at those and I think there's a lot of jumbled up, players from 1 to 10 and really beyond. You know, you might see, Cam Newton number one. You might see Patrick Peterson number one. You might see Marcel Darius, Von Miller, AJ Green. I don't think there's a consensus number one. I don't even know if there's a consensus top three players in this year's draft. But it's interesting to see how and whether a team's need factors in. You know, the Denver Broncos have many needs. They could go in many different directions. The Buffalo Bills have many needs. They could go in many different directions. Cincinnati, they, you know, I feel like they have plenty of needs, but I think quarterback and wide receiver are the biggest needs. And that's why A.J. Green or Blaine Gabbert are really the choices you end up seeing there, and I think it's going to be Gabbert. But I think we're going to see, even as we get closer and closer to next Thursday, that there won't be a ton of consensus on who the top players in this year's draft are. Maybe who one will be and who two will be, but that doesn't necessarily mean those are the top players in this year's draft. So it's interesting, and we'll get into that with Rob Rang, just, you know, the differences between his quote-unquote big board, his top prospects, and his mock draft. As it pertains to the Patriots, and again, if you're just joining us now for the first time on Inside the Draft Room, we like to talk about not just the Patriots. We are here on Patriots.com, but we like to talk about the league as a whole and this year's draft. But as it does pertain to the Patriots, picking at number 17 and at number 28, you know, there's this pool of 8 to 10 players that we generally see as the guys that the Patriots are most interested in around those picks. J.J. Watt, Mike Pouncey, Aldon Smith, Adrian Claiborne. You know, these tackles like Costanzo and guys like that, Gabe Karimi. Well, you know, in my experiences covering the Patriots, you know, they generally don't go for the guys that are projected to go to them. They throw curveballs. They are the kings of curveballs. Devin McCourty last year, trading out of the first round into the early second and taking Patrick Chung. Even Brandon Merriweather, certainly Logan Mankins, Lawrence Maroney, all of these guys. And so my instinct, as I'm analyzing this and looking at the players that the Patriots are projected to take in mock drafts, looking at the positions of need and the players that fit those needs, your instinct is to say, well, they're not going to take any of those guys. You know, my instinct is they'll probably take a wide receiver. They'll take another cornerback, Prince Amukamara, Jonathan Baldwin, guys like that, just because they throw curveballs and we see all these player visits. Guys, you know, there's some high-profile players that have visited, quarterbacks, Mark Ingram, you know, Kyle Rudolph, supposedly. And you wonder, are these smoke screens? Are they really interested? Well, I think they play the game well. And they're cognizant of the game. They are aware of what the mock drafts say. They are aware of what the reports of players visiting the Patriots mean to the outside world. And they're throwing curveballs every which way. And so, you know, next week maybe I'll give my prediction on who the Patriots will take at these positions. But right now, my instinct tells me they're not going to take the guys that are targeted to them in mock drafts. Now, Rob Rang's latest mock draft has the Patriots taking J.J. Watt at 17 and Danny Watkins at 28. J.J. Watt, the true defensive end out of Wisconsin, and then Danny Watkins, the guard out of Baylor, who is really one of the older players in this year's draft. He's 26 years old. He's Canadian, and he is a converted fireman, not just a converted position or played a different sport. He was a fireman, a professional fireman, for a few years in Canada before going on and playing at Baylor and now becoming a top prospect in the NFL draft. So Watt and Watkins are the targets for Rob Rang. And then Chad Reuter, also from CBSSports.com, in his mock draft, which is listed side-by-side with Rob Rang, he has the Patriots taking Aldon Smith, the defensive end out of Missouri, and Cameron Hayward, the defensive end out of Ohio State. I should add Cameron Hayward and Cameron Jordan to that group of 10 or so that we always see having the Patriots selecting in mock drafts. You're listening to Inside the Draft Room here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe. A couple of other notes as we look around. I was always intrigued. I was intrigued to see Don Banks on SI.com with his Wes Welker watch list, his third annual Wes Welker watch list. Now, here in New England, you see the name Wes Welker, and you click. You want to know what's going on with Wes Welker. Well, what Don Banks does, and really does well, because he's got a lot of players on this top 10 list that in the last couple of years have made the NFL, his off-the-radar draft prospects. Wes Welker, of course, an undrafted guy who has gone on to be a Pro Bowler and obviously a very productive player. Julian Edelman has been on this list in the past. And you should check it out. It's an interesting list because these are guys that weren't necessarily at the combine. We're not going to be hearing about their pro days. But they're players who are going to get a chance in the NFL, whether it be late round or undrafted free agency. And keep in mind, undrafted free agency will not be the same, it looks like, this year as in past years, because, you know, in past years, the draft comes to an end, and teams are making calls to players who aren't drafted and their agents trying to sign them immediately to contracts. And it presents an interesting dynamic, because when players convene for rookie camps the next week, you've got players who are undrafted free agents who are under contract, and then you've got the actual draft picks who are not under contract and might not be until training camp begins. Well, this year, it doesn't look like we'll be able to have, or teams will be able to sign undrafted players until the labor situation gets resolved. But a couple of players that caught my eye on Don Banks' list, the Wes Welker watch list, were cornerback out of Notre Dame, Darren Walls, who I think is interesting. You know, don't forget that Charlie Weiss connection at Notre Dame up until last year, or up until 2 years ago. So there could be players that Charlie Weiss, with that pipeline to Bill Belichick, have kept an eye on. And then a Central Michigan outside linebacker, Matthias Berning. And what's interesting about him is he's from Germany. And, you know, outside linebacker, always tough projections, and this is a player who I think is shorter than the ideal standard at the Patriots like for outside linebacker. But the German angle intrigued me because that's the route they took with Sebastian Vollmer 2 years ago, a player who was not invited to the combine, under the radar quite a bit, and the Patriots took him they actually took him early. In round two, late in round two, and we could say he's panned out. He's a starter and potentially a left tackle of the future. So, you know, I think it was interesting for me to see that there's a prospect from Germany, and you never know. The fact that the Patriots had a little bit of success with that could play a role in their projection on him this year. Noticed also a tweet from Peter King today. 8 days before the draft, this is the hot guy at the bottom of round one. Florida State quarterback Christian Ponder. So Peter King, who has his mock draft in Sports Illustrated hitting newsstands today, I believe, says that the hot guy at the bottom of round one is Christian Ponder. Certainly a question I want to get to with Rob Rang in just a little bit. He should be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Is quarterbacks in round one this year? I think we can all safely assume, although dangerous to say this, but we can all safely assume that Cam Newton and Blaine Gabbert, looks like they'll go top five, maybe top seven. Dangerous, of course, to say that because we know about the Aaron Rodgers experience from 2005, the Brady Quinn experience from a few years after that. Guys who are possible number one picks overall slip sliding away into late in the first round. But I feel like we can safely say that Newton and Gabbert will be top five, top seven. After that, you've got this group of quarterbacks that includes Jake Locker, Christian Ponder, Ryan Mallett, Colin Kaepernick, Andy Dalton even, who are evaluated and ranked differently depending on who you ask, but who could start sliding. You know, I feel like a couple weeks ago we were talking about these guys maybe sliding into the end of the first round. Well, I think now we have to start considering the possibility that one or two of these guys could slip into the top 15. I think there's a lot of teams in the top 15 of this draft eager for a quarterback. They're not all going to take one, but you might start seeing teams want to trade into the top five, or as we get later, trade into the bottom five or seven of the first round for these quarterbacks. And I do get the sense that Christian Ponder is a late riser. I think the biggest knock on him is the injury situation. He's missed a lot of time at Florida State. But he's pretty experienced, pretty intelligent, and pretty skilled. And, you know, I think he could go at the end of the first round. I think Jake Locker now is going to be a top 15 pick. I really do. I think teams that you know, could very well be eyeing him are Minnesota at 12, Washington at 10, Miami at 15. I think those are three teams that might be looking at Jake Locker as the number three quarterback off the board. And I think with Ryan Mallett, I think he's a risk. He's a risk-reward kind of guy who could go late in the first round. I don't think Colin Kaepernick is going to go in the first round, but I think at this point we're going to see four, maybe five quarterbacks in round one.
Did you hear Brandon Marshall's tweet about Ryan Mallett today?
Don't think I did.
Brandon Marshall has been openly campaigning for the Dolphins to draft Mallett with that 15th pick.
Got to make Chad Henne feel good.
And he said that, direct quote, that Mallett was the, quote, hip Matty Ice.
The hip Matty Ice.
Yes. Interesting analysis.
What
there.
Makes him hip?
I'm not sure. I think what happened.
The drug use, supposedly?
Yes, the marijuana.
That makes him hip, huh?
I think to Brandon Marshall it would.
Well, I read the Sports Illustrated article about Darrent Williams.
Yes.
And Brandon Marshall heavily featured. I think Brandon Marshall might want to take a low-key, laid-back
yes.
approach to discussing
might want to
the,
sit the next play out, if you will.
Discussing the off-the-field habits of teams and whether it makes them hip or not.
Not the best guy to go to for advice on off-the-field issues.
Not so much. And you know, if I'm a wide, listen, the cat's already out of the bag with Brandon Marshall and what he thinks about Chad Henne, because I think he was pretty outspoken last year about how disenchanted, let's say, he was with Chad Henne. My sense is the Dolphins take a quarterback early, but don't forget, they have used is not a strong enough word. They have wasted a lot of picks in the second round, specifically the second round in recent years on quarterbacks, whether it be trading for Dante Culpepper, John Beck, Pat White, Chad Henne. These have all been second round picks that they've taken. So you've got to think that they're hesitant to pull the trigger, but they've been so bad with the quarterback situation, the quarterback position.
You have to find one somewhere.
You got to find one. So the question is, do they feel strongly enough about a quarterback this year to take one at 15? If not, let's see, their second round pick is, don't tell me they don't have a second round pick. Oh man, they don't have a second round pick, it looks like. I'm looking right now. So they may
typical
be desperate.
Dolphins.
They have the 15th pick in the draft. And then, unless I'm missing it here, and I don't think I am, they don't pick again until number 79 overall. Could be tough for them. And listen, the Dolphins, who the Patriots are scheduled to face on Monday Night Football in week one of the 2011 season, I didn't even know this about their lack of a second round pick. Now I feel even more confident that they will take a quarterback in round one. I think Jake Locker is their guy. I think they're going to take a quarterback in round one.
Well, then Brandon Marshall will be very upset.
Brandon Marshall
he'll
will
be whining
upset.
And crying during training camp.
And you know what? I think that's kind of who he is.
Throwing his blankie.
Whining and crying. But I feel pretty strongly now. I think the Dolphins take a quarterback. I don't think the Bills take a quarterback third overall. I think they take one in the second round. I think they'll be a team that takes someone
be,
in the...
They have to be early in the second round.
They are.
Right? Yeah.
They have the second pick in the second round.
Yeah,
so they pick right after the Patriots.
That's right in that layer where I think a lot of those guys could go.
I'm telling you, from 25, which is Seattle, who could take a quarterback, all the way down to, say, 41 or 43, which is Washington and Minnesota, that is going to be that's going to be an area where three, four quarterbacks are going to go, either to teams in those spots or teams trading. And that's why, and I've said this before, and so have a lot of other people, that... The Patriots at 28 and 33 are in prime position to wheel and deal and just let teams come to them with trade offers, because I think they're going to be quite a few of them. I think there's going to be quite a few trade offers in that spot for teams that didn't take a quarterback early in round one, but are going to want one in round two. Buffalo, Cincinnati, Arizona, Tennessee, Washington, Minnesota. These are teams that are going to want to trade up. So I think that's interesting. And as Peter King's tweet today said, Christian Ponder is a guy to watch out for who could sneak into the first round. You know, it's funny. Jake Locker, a year ago, either before he decided to go back to school for a senior year, so talking like last January and February, and even all the way through into September, Jake Locker was seen as a first pick overall type. Christian Ponder has been seen as a third round and beyond type because of injury concerns and other factors. Now we're getting to a point where I think Christian Ponder could conceivably be drafted before Jake Locker.
Because your good friend Wes Bunting.
We had Wes Bunting on the show last week.
The best quarterback prospect in the draft.
He does. And Wes Bunting had some really interesting thoughts on quarterbacks. Everybody has different thoughts on quarterbacks. Everybody has different thoughts on a lot of different picks. And we're going to hear from one guy who has some of the best analysis out there leading up to the draft, and that is Rob Rang from CBSSports.com and NFLDraftScout.com. A bunch of questions we have for Rob Rang. If you have a question for him, email us right now, webradio@patriots.com. He's going to be joining us in just a few minutes, and we'll be right back after this break.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance. Hit up B-Lo in the draft room at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
We're back here inside the draft room on patriots.com radio. Brian Lowe here with you from 12 to 1 Eastern. We have a lot of fun with this draft show. We did it last year, doing it again this year on Wednesdays. Catch it from 12 to 1 Eastern. Also, as a podcast, and also re-aired Thursdays from 2 to 3. Correct, Kevin? 2 to 3 on Thursdays.
Affirmative. Following PFW in
following
progress.
Following PFW in progress.
Not that Fred does you any favors.
Oh, really? I'm happy you told me that.
I'm the one promoting. I promoted.
You do a pretty good job of promoting.
I promoted yesterday, too.
Great.
The guest.
Doing a good job with that. Good job getting some guests. We're going to have a guest in just a few minutes, Rob Rang from NFLDraftScout.com. And also, don't forget, I kind of break away from my main job here for this hour. But Patriots Today on Patriots.com, we have all kinds of content, all kinds of draft previews coming your way over the last few weeks into next week. We did our linebacker preview yesterday and doing our defensive line preview tomorrow. Lindsey Petrucci and I bringing all those to you. We'll have a mock draft next week and then full coverage during the weekend of the draft. I'm not the brightest guy in the world. I could see you had something cooking up over there, Kevin, so I figured I'd humor you and give you a pause there to drop that in. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but, you know, when it comes to football, you know, actually, I'm not very bright on that either. Anyways, we're talking draft. We're talking NFL draft here, which is 8 days away. Thursday night, round one. Friday night, rounds two and three. Saturday, rounds four through seven. As far as the Patriots are concerned, they have two picks on day one, picks 17 and 28. Then they have two picks in round two and two picks in round three, giving them four overall on Friday. And then they have a relatively quiet third day right now over those four rounds combined. As it stands right now, they have just three picks. Now, if you were to tell me that they'll only make three picks on Saturday, I'd say you're out of your mind. I think there's no question they end up taking more than three players on Saturday, because of those top six picks they have, specifically the top three, my thinking is they're going to make some trades, gather some more picks, maybe some picks for 2012. That's just sort of how they operate. That's what they do. And I'm pretty sure that they'll do the same this week. I'm sorry, this year, in next week's draft. They'll wheel and deal. And I think the meat of the draft is day two. Day two, last year, in the new format, I found day two to be fascinating, both from a Patriots perspective and from a league perspective. And it starts right off the bat. Number 33, that 33rd pick, teams have a full day to reassess their board, maybe re-rank boards, maybe take that last couple minutes of viewing a certain player's video, film, and maybe saying, you know what, we need this player. Maybe they're picking around in the 40s, and they call the Patriots and say, you know what, we want 33. We want number 33, and they go up there and they get it. So I think the Patriots are in primo position there to make a pick like that. We're going to be talking to Rob Rang pretty soon. We're analyzing and dissecting mock drafts and draft boards and all that. And one of Rob Rang's other cohorts on CBSSports.com, Pete Prisco, wrote in the last week about a topic that we discussed in the first half of the show today. And really, when it comes to the draft, I think quarterback is just so compelling, and I think this year in particular. He writes, the quarterback rush will likely come later in the first round, and it won't be by the teams in those late spots, but rather these quarterback-needy teams who make a move. Of the teams picking from 17 to 32 in the first round, the only team that really needs a quarterback is Seattle, which is picking 25th. The rest are all set unless one of those teams was to be looking for a quarterback of the future. Patriots would be in that mix, I would say. The quarterback stability of the teams in those spots is why they are there. They're the good teams for a reason. What that should do is set up what could be a wild ride at the back end of the first round with a flurry of trades. The haves can make deals with the have-nots. And here's an NFC general manager. Quote, I still think as many as five quarterbacks go in the first round. You watch. Some of those guys will go late in the round when teams realize they won't all be there in the second, and they have to make moves to get them. And that's really the key. Look at the teams in the early part of round two. So you got the Patriots who, if they were to draft a guy, and we've seen the news that Jake Locker and Ryan Mallett have been in having visits, I don't think they take a quarterback that high, but I guess stranger things have happened. Patriots are not one of these teams that need a quarterback. But Buffalo at 34, Cincinnati at 35, Arizona at 38, Tennessee at 39, Washington at 41, Minnesota at 43. And I guess you can actually add in San Francisco at 45. These are all teams that they can't all take a quarterback in round one, so these are teams that are going to take quarterbacks in round two or might want to move up to get them. So interesting to see that different analysts sort of agree, and I think we're getting a groundswell here as we close in on 1 week before the draft of quarterbacks starting to become hot candidates in round one. I also have found that I think offensive line is the other position that we're going to see a run in the first round. There's five offensive tackles who are first-round caliber guys. Maybe not top five. And in a lot of years, you see one or two offensive tackles, blue-chip offensive tackles, go in the top five. Not this year. But this year, we've got five players who are first-round caliber. Those players? That's Tyron Smith. That's Anthony Costanzo. It's Gabe Kareemi. It's Derek Sherrod. And it is, who am I missing? The fifth one that I'm missing, Nate Solder. Those five guys, I think once we see one of them go, and the earliest you sort of see these guys going is Aldon Smith, number nine, to Dallas. So once we see one of those guys going, and it could be as early as pick number nine, I'm not sure I'm sold on that, but I think certainly by number 13, which is Detroit. I think we're going to see these five guys go in fairly rapid succession and maybe all in the first round. I think that's going to be and I really would not be surprised if the Patriots are in the mix at pick number 17. The best of the bunch, in my opinion, Anthony Costanzo. I think he's the most complete of these five. The biggest upside, it seems, Tyron Smith, USC. The kid is young. He's 20. He's not even going to be 20 and a half at draft day. He won't be 21 until December, until very, very late in his rookie year in the NFL. But he's said to be an elite pass blocker, and I think he might have the most upside. Karimi, Solder, Sherrod. Yeah, I think Sherrod is the fifth out of these five. I think Karimi and Solder are sort of ranked around the same. But I think we're going to see a run on those guys. As I say that, you know, in conjunction with that, I think we're going to see, it seems like there's a lot of depth at defensive line, pass rush, and I think that's still the case. I think we're going to see that those picks fall. I don't think we're going to see that run in the first round. I think that's going to be more in the second round. Sure, a few guys are going to go early. J.J. Watt, you know, probably Adrian Claiborne, but I think a lot of others are going to be sliding maybe very late first round or into the second. I think that's going to be interesting. I think Corey Leggett out of Illinois is a player who I heard Mike Mayock speak very highly of at the Combine as a first-round guy. And wouldn't you know it, we're starting to see Corey Leggett, you know, creeping up a little bit. In fact, in Scouts Inc.'s top 25, or top 32 big board, Corey Leggett is number 14, ahead of, listen to these names, Cam Newton, Mike Pouncey, Anthony Costanzo, Cameron Jordan, Nate Solder, Mark Ingram, Gabe Karimi, Ryan Kerrigan, Adrian Claiborne, Jake Locker, Akeem Ayers. Corey Leggett rising, defensive tackle out of Illinois. That's an interesting one to keep an eye on. I think he's a very interesting one to keep an eye on, and a guy who could be a candidate even for a 3-4 team. So that's a guy, just keep that name in mind. You're listening to Inside the Draft Room here on Patriots.com Radio, coming your way every Wednesday, 1 hour a week, leading up to next week's draft. We'll be here on Wednesday and the following Wednesday as well after the draft. Joining us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Rob Rang, NFLDraftScout.com senior analyst. You can check out his blog and all of his work on NFLDraftScout.com and CBSSports.com. Rob, thank you very much for joining us. How are we doing 8 days before the draft?
You know, it's a busy 8 days before the draft. I'm doing well. I hope you are also, and I look forward to talking draft with you.
How can we not? I mean, you know, we're here on Patriots.com. The Patriots have three of the top 33 picks. They probably won't take all those picks, but they have three of the top 33 and a lot of different directions they can go. So we're going to get into the entire NFL draft, but why don't we just start there with the Patriots and looking at your most recent mock draft. At number 17, you have them taking J.J. Watt. At number 28, Danny Watkins. And with the Watt pick, you know, he's certainly a guy projected to, you know, in a lot of mock drafts. You see them passing on some other players that are projected to come to the Patriots, like Mike Pouncey, Aldon Smith. Talk about the picks that you have there for the Patriots. What makes Watt such a good pick for them, and then also Watkins?
Well, J.J. Watt is the, you know, one of the elite defensive ends in this draft class, at least when it comes to the 3-4 scheme. Certainly when the New England Patriots built their current empire, as I would put it, with this club, and they did so with Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli building to the defensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, the multiple first-round picks used on Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, right. Vince Wilfork, built up that defensive line. Obviously, some of those players are no longer with the Patriots, and those that are aging. And so when you have an ideal five technique that slides down into your lap at 17, I just thought that was way too much value for the Patriots to pass up at the number 17 spot in the draft in J.J. Watt. And then a little bit lower in the draft with Danny Watkins. This is a player that I really believe is going to come in, and whether it be for the Patriots or some other team, I think he's going to have an impact very similar to the one that Logan Mankins has had with the Patriots. I believe that he's a future Pro Bowl player. He is a guy that, despite the fact that he only has 4 years of college football experience, at the same time, he is about as pro-ready as any interior lineman in this draft. And you mentioned Mike Pouncey, a player I'm very, very high in, and I'm sure the Patriots are as well. But I really think that you will see that club, the Patriots, focus on their defensive shortcomings rather than the offensive, at least with their first pick of the draft. Watkins at that spot, again, is going to provide extreme value. He's going to fill a position of need. And he's also a player that has the type of intangibles that Bill Belichick has liked to build his teams around.
Well, I think you're right. Watkins is a guy who could probably step right in at a position that they might need. But then Watt is just so intriguing because, as you said, here's a guy who, it seems, is the perfect fit for what the Patriots do. And every year, it seems like, we hear names of players who, analysts and fans, and I think we've probably all fell into this trap. Well, this is the perfect guy for the Patriots 3-4, and yet they rarely take a guy like that in the first couple of rounds. Are there others, aside from Watt, that you think are perfect 3-4 players for the Patriots, whether that be the first round, second round, or even beyond?
Oh, certainly. That's one of the unique things about this year's draft and why it's just that much more valuable for the Patriots to have the multiple picks that they do in this year's draft, despite the fact that they are, of course, among the best teams in all of the league.
Right.
Whether it be in the first round, the second round, there are plenty of players that fit that mold of a 3-4 defensive lineman. Where the talent is a little lacking is in the 3-4 rush linebackers. Now, certainly if the Patriots elect to trade up and try and get a Von Miller or a Robert Quinn, that might make some sense. I'm not quite as high on Alden Smith as a lot of other people seem to be. Now, perhaps that he could come in and be a pass rusher in the 3-4 defense. He obviously has not done that in the past. And when I spoke to people who were at his workout, the Missouri Pro Day, he didn't show the bend and flexibility that most teams traditionally like in their outside linebackers for the 3-4 scheme. So that's my concern with him. So if the Patriots do elect to go with a defensive player, number 17 overall, then I personally don't believe that Alden Smith is going to be a choice. I know that he has been pegged by a lot of people to go with the Patriots there. I think that it would be a possibility between J.J. Watt, perhaps a Ryan Kerrigan, who is a defensive end at Purdue, but has the intangibles and has the burst up field, uses his hands well, that he might make a great deal of sense as a 3-4 rush linebacker. And those are, to me, the ideal players at that portion of the first round that could fit in with what the Patriots are doing.
And you have Ryan Kerrigan going just before the Patriots at number 16 to Jacksonville. We're talking to Rob Rang, NFLDraftScout.com senior analyst. Switching gears to sort of a bigger picture NFL first round. Quarterback, obviously an intriguing position any year, but it really seems like it is this year, and we're starting to see that maybe we're going to get 4 or 5 maybe quarterbacks in round one. You have Cam Newton going number 1 to Carolina. You have Blaine Gabbert going number 5 to Arizona. And then you have Jake Locker going number 8 to Tennessee, which it seems like is as early as you really see someone taking a quarterback beyond Newton and Gabbert. Talk about your thoughts on the quarterbacks in this year's draft and really how many quarterbacks you see going in round one this year.
Well, I think that at this point it's essentially a lock. But we're going to see at least 3 quarterbacks go in the first round. And as you mentioned, a very good possibility that we're going to see 4 or even 5 quarterbacks go in the first round. As you mentioned, I have Jake Locker higher than most people do. And it's not because I necessarily am in love with Jake Locker's game. It's that I believe that there are a run of clubs that are going to be picking somewhere between that 8th and 16th spot. The Tennessee Titans pick number 8 overall. They certainly, at least if my sources are to be believed, they very much like Jake Locker. In an ideal situation, they'd be able to trade down 10 spots or so and be able to select him at that point. But there is a lot of concern that perhaps the Washington Redskins at number 10, the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 16, Miami Dolphins, that they all are very intrigued by Jake Locker or potentially select him if he were available to them. So what we've seen in the past is that quarterback value rises up with each passing day as we get closer to the draft. And I think that's only going to be emphasized that much more this year because, of course, teams have not been able to address any position through free agency or through player trade.
That's right. And along those lines, talking about quarterback needy teams in, say, the first half of round one, you know, they're not all going to get a quarterback in round one. So does that put more of a spotlight when we look at the top half of round two on teams trying to trade up either into the late first round, early second round, and getting back to the Patriots having that 33rd pick where there's a gap between round one and round two? Do you think we're going to see a lot of movement in that range, say 27 to 40, where teams that didn't get a quarterback in round one are going to try to move back in, move back up, and get one?
Potentially. I think that the potential is certainly there to see a lot of activity, almost all of it centered around the quarterbacks, happen anywhere between, say, the Seattle Seahawks at number 25 and then mid-portion of the second round. Because I would be surprised if we don't see three or four quarterbacks go in that range. And as you mentioned, the New England Patriots really hold a lot of cards mm-hmm. with that number 33 overall pick. In fact, I would argue that the number 33 pick in a draft has never held more value than it does this year. So what a coup for the Patriots to own that pick. You know, of course, the Cincinnati Bengals were dropped a couple of spots later. The Buffalo Bills were picking one spot after the Patriots in the top of the second round. They could potentially need quarterbacks, and every team out there knows that. And the most fascinating, and I believe most underreported element of this entire process is just the fact that when you look at this year's draft and compare it to the years in the past, the NFL teams are essentially having to go off of a CBA agreement that is, of course, non-existent right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so what NFL teams will generally do is they will go off of what they know, and that's the CBA agreement before. The CBA agreement before mandates that any player that is drafted between number 1 and number 16 overall, the maximum contract that can be offered is a 6-year deal. And players picked between number 17 and number 32, so the second portion of the first round, the maximum contract they can get is a 5-year deal. Any player drafted number 33 or lower, the maximum contract that they get is a 4-year deal. So what that all that means is that for teams that want to get a longer contract, potentially a cheaper contract for a player, is going to want to get into the tail portion of the first round, especially for a quarterback that you may have to essentially redshirt his rookie season anyway. So there is going to be a huge push to try and get the longest contract possible for these quarterbacks. So expect there to be a lot of teams that are looking to trade up into the bottom portion of the first round to try and get a pick, rather than allow the teams like the Cincinnati Bengals, the Buffalo Bills, the San Francisco 49ers, the Jacksonville Jaguars, all those clubs who are drafting the top of the second to be able to snatch those quarterbacks up at that point.
That really is a fascinating element, and I appreciate you giving us that perspective on it, because that really can make a big difference, a huge difference between a 6-year contract and a 4-year contract maximum. That can really change the outlook that a team might have on taking a quarterback. I'd like to ask you just quickly on a few specific players, your thoughts on these players going into the draft, starting with Robert Quinn. And, you know, he has a very interesting story, both in terms of the suspension that kept him out of last year, a brain tumor that affected him in high school. What are your thoughts on him and what he projects at position-wise in the NFL, and where you think he'll go in this year's draft?
Well, when you watch him on tape, and again, as you mentioned, he was suspended for the entire last season.
Right.
So you're going off of 2009 tape. He is among the most explosive pass rushers in this draft. The only other player who I think is more explosive than him is Von Miller, the outside linebacker. And so when you put that on, knowing that, that means that usually translates to at least a top 10 pick and perhaps a top 5 pick. Well, the most intriguing element about him is the fact that he is scheme versatile. He can be a 4-3 defensive end, as he was a star at North Carolina, or he has shown the agility to be in straight-line speed, to be able to be a 3-4 rush linebacker. And so that versatility just makes him that much more intriguing. But you touched upon the medical concern, the brain tumor. Mm-hmm. You know, we're knocking players down nowadays for, you know, they basically, if they have a hangnail, a combine, you know, and so if you have something as serious as a brain tumor that has been cleared by every NFL team I've spoken to, at the same time, it is a concern. And so there is a possibility that he could slip a little bit on draft day. If the Patriots are going to trade up, Robert Quinn might be the target that they're looking for, just because he could start to slip down a little bit, and it wouldn't cost so much to be able to move up and get arguably the best pass rusher in the draft.
And you have him going right now, number 11 to Houston, and you know, you're right. You feel like if he's a player who does slip maybe up to 10 or so, that the Patriots could move up. How about his collegiate teammate at North Carolina, Marvin Austin, who seems to be maybe a bit of a riser right now, late first, second round guy, and you do have him in your first round?
Well, I have him going late in the first round, Chicago Bears, number 30 overall, and he's a player that again, is very intriguing. He's a classic 4-3, three-technique defensive tackle. That's the under-tackle position that Warren Sapp made so famous. And he has some elements to his game that are a little reminiscent of Warren Sapp. He's got very quick feet, very quick hands, and he is a classic penetrator that can get some quarterback pressures for you, and basically just be able to blow up plays from the interior. Now, all of that said, he was suspended for his senior season, and the exact opposite essentially happened with Quinn and with Marvin Austin. Everybody I talked to about Robert Quinn, said that he was a really good kid. They got caught up in a bad situation, lied about it, mm-hmm. and then was suspended for the year. Marvin Austin, a lot of the talk is that he brought this all upon himself, that he was explained over and over again the ramifications of some of the decisions that he made, and he still made them. And so the perception that he's rising at this point is because he was able to work out those situations, explain to NFL teams exactly what was going through his head, and that alleviated some of the concerns that teams had. Also, he took that year off that he wasn't able to play football and really dedicated himself to the workroom and made himself a better conditioned athlete, a stronger athlete than he had demonstrated before. So you're hoping that chip that is on his shoulder now is going to lead him to really maximize the incredible talent he has. Athletically speaking, he deserves to go in the top 20 of this draft. Mm-hmm. If he does wind up in the first round, it will be because he was able to rehabilitate his image with NFL scouts.
Very interesting. And finally, one other player, Mark Ingram. A lot of concerns about a knee injury, but we see him going really likely in the middle of the first round. Then you hear some people say he might fall out of the first round. Your thoughts on Ingram?
It gets tragic because when you watch him on tape, this is among the best players in this draft. In fact, on my big board, which is where I rank the players as I would select them, I have him number 5 overall, and I certainly do not expect him to go number 5 overall. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the sources I have in the league are correct that he could slip all the way out of the first round, because what we're seeing is NFL teams migrate essentially away from the running back position. Teams don't want a true bell cow running back that gets the ball 20 times a game. They would like to do it, and some of this is because the Patriots have had such success in doing it. They'd like to have 2 or even 3 running backs to split carries. Well, I'm telling you right now, Mark Ingram is one of the better players, the safer players, and I really believe that this is a lot of smoke out there about Mark Ingram's injury, because when you watch him dominate the SEC as he's done in the last 3 years, then he certainly looks like among the safer and best players in this year's draft. Whether he goes in the first round or not, I don't really care. What's going to happen is 2-3 years from down the road, he's going to be one of the superstars in the 2011 draft.
Very interesting. Be very intriguing to see where he goes, and appreciate your perspective on that, Rob. Before we let you go, I just need to ask you, and you mentioned this on your blog, I think, in the last week. You put quite a bit of time and effort, obviously, into NFLDraftScout.com and your draft analysis, but it turns out that's not your only job. In fact, it's really your secondary job. What else do you do? Pretty much as a day-to-day job.
Well, it's funny you mention that. I'm a high school English and history teacher. And you know, it's difficult for a lot of people to understand how I can be an effective teacher and also be an effective draft analyst. And I would just say that I have an extraordinary network of family and friends around me who are willing to share their time with me so that I can do both of those jobs the best of my ability. There are a number of 18 to 20 hour days that unfortunately I have to put in during this time of the year.
I was going
to
say, and you probably do it by not sleeping much is probably how you pull it off.
Well, that and having the most pathetic social life of just about anybody in America, I think. You know, and that's what it comes down to. It's just, I really feel like I'm the most fortunate person in the world, because there's a lot of people out there who are stuck in jobs that they don't like. And I have 2 jobs that I feel very fortunate to have. I am passionate about each of them. And so I believe in that theory that if you love your job, then you'll never work a single day in your life. Well, I've got 2 of them that I absolutely love and feel blessed to be doing every day of my life.
Well, I'm sure you do as good a job teaching as you do analyzing the draft, because you guys do a great job there at NFLDraftScout.com. And Rob Rang, we appreciate you taking a few minutes today during this extremely hectic time. And enjoy next week. I'm sure it's a fun week for you and everybody who follows the NFL. So thank you for joining us for a few minutes.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Rob Rang, NFLDraftScout.com senior analyst. Appreciate him spending a few minutes with us. And as you just heard him say, you know, I think he's out on the West Coast. So during this time of year, right now out in Washington, I believe, maybe it's school vacation week. I guess I should have asked him that. But certainly a lot of quite a juggling act for him. And he was kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here inside the draft room. Web radio at Patriots.com. That is the way to reach us. Also, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Want to get to an email now. This is from Mike in Pensacola, Florida. He says, hey, Brian, I was thinking the other day about our wide receiver core, the Patriots wide receiver core, and how it could change in the next year with Deion Branch and Wes Welker becoming free agents after next season. I honestly think the Pats need to strongly consider finding a true number one wideout in this draft or free agency. I think Julian Edelman could be a good fit in the slot, and Taylor Price could develop over time into a number two David Givens type. I think Brandon Tate should strictly be used as a kickoff punt returner. It seemed he was less productive in this role after Moss was traded, and he isn't a consistent wide receiver to be an every-down option. Being from Florida and being a diehard Gator fan, I watched both A.J. Green and Julio Jones play quite a bit. I think Jones is too injury-prone and inconsistent with catching the ball, and I see a lot of Moss, Fitzgerald, and Green. He has good hands and excellent body control and will go and get the ball at its highest point. Let's say that Green is available at number 8 when the Titans pick, and both Gabbert and Newton are gone by then. Could you see the Pats moving up to get him? I am with a lot of people in thinking this might be the year that the Pats move up to get a guy with 24 selections in the past 2 years. I think Belichick has to look at quality and not quantity this time around. What do you think of my assessment of the position and the possibility of my presented scenario unfolding? Thanks, Brian. Love the show. Mike, that's great analysis, and I think that's certainly a worthwhile way to look at this from two perspectives. One, as you said, the Patriots have had 12 selections in each of the last two drafts. That's a lot of really young guys. Certainly you want to maintain a core of young players. The Patriots do, and they've done a pretty good job of that. This year they have 9 picks. But my thinking is, if they are to move up to get a guy, it won't be as high as the top 8 because the price is just going to be too much. You're going to have to give up your 17th pick, maybe your 33rd as well, and maybe something else. Maybe you have to give up a pick in 2012. That's just not the way they do it. I think what's more, and I also don't think they do it for a wide receiver, because I feel like wide receivers are very difficult projections in the NFL. Look at wide receivers. First round, second round, third round. It's not a lock that a first round guy is going to be that all pro. I think A.J. Green and Julio Jones, while different players, are both going to be very good players in the NFL. But I think the risk of moving up that high and giving up that much for a wide receiver, regardless of your need at that position, it's just not something the Patriots are going to do. And think about it. The Patriots, maybe with the exception of 2006, have generally had a fairly decent, sometimes top-heavy, sometimes more deep, a fairly decent core of wide receivers. And yet, with the exception of Chan Jackson, who was a bust, they don't take them early. I don't think this is a year. That being said, if we get down to about pick number 10, and a guy the Patriots want, maybe even Robert Quinn, who Rob Rang just said would be an ideal Patriot and may still be there at 10-11.
Oh, Andy's getting excited.
And Andy's
now
getting excited as well. Andy Hart, I know. If a guy is there in the 10 to 12 range, and the Patriots can get up there without giving up two of their picks in those 17, 28, 33, if they can get into 10, 11, 12 for the right guy, and it will only cost them 17 and say 60, I could see them doing it. But I think even though they've taken so many picks in the last couple of years, and they don't necessarily need quantity, they really need quality, I don't see them wanting to have fewer than the 9 picks they have right now. I really don't. Because, you know, they were a 14-2 team last year, but they've got some holes. They've got some depth issues. They've got some issues that they would like to come away from this draft, I think, with those 9 picks. So if they can trade 17 and 60, let's say, to move up into 10 or 12 range, and then later on, maybe they deal 28 or 33 to move down in this year's draft and acquire 2 more picks later in the draft, I could see them doing that.
Oops, winning.
Exactly. So, Mike, in conclusion, I do agree with you that wide receiver is a bit of a long-term need position for this team because their top two guys, Branch and Welker, are free agents after next year, and because there's some uncertainty with their current younger guys, the Tate, Price, that category. I think they have a need for a wide receiver, but I think sometime in the next 12 or 18 months, I think there's a better chance that they trade for a top-notch wide receiver or maybe get one in free agency. Because don't forget, I think they were very much in on Anquan Boldin last year. They're not afraid maybe to go wide receiver in free agency or trade for one. I think that's more of their MO. I think in the next 12 to 18 months, they will need to address that position from a number one, number two wide receiver standpoint. I just don't think it's going to be in this year's draft. Mike, thank you very much for the email. We appreciate that. So a few interesting notes from Rob Rang. J.J. Watt, I think there's a consensus out there that he is the ideal Patriot in terms of the position that they need and the fact that he can slide into a 3-4 defensive end role right away. But the big asterisk I put, as I said earlier in the show, is that you always see these 3-4 guys that project to be perfect Patriots, and they don't take them. It's been a while. Ty Warren back in 04, back in 03, is really the last one. There's something about they have specific standards for defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rush. They don't always go for them. But if J.J. Watt is that guy, and maybe he is, maybe they'll take him. But I think the Danny Watkins pick is more likely. It's more likely they take a guy like Danny Watkins at 28 just because they can put him right into either left guard or right guard, depending on the Logan Mankin situation, and they'd be fine. Interesting to hear his thoughts on Robert Quinn. I think he's a guy that's top 10, but Rob has him going number 11 to Houston. I think that's a category the Patriots could move up and get him. And interesting, too, on Mark Ingram. I think he actually used the word tragic. Mark Ingram being an extremely talented player, a first-round talent, whose injury concerns may push him out of round one. Rob and a lot of other people have him going 15 to Miami. We'll see how that pans out. So we thank Rob for joining us. Don't forget, we're closing in on the draft. It's next Thursday. That's day one. We will have another show next Wednesday from 12 to 2. I'm sorry, from 12 to 1.
The show must go on, people.
The show must go on. We're also working on, in addition to the PFW guys, having some more radio content maybe next Thursday and Friday as well. I hope to be able to bring some more analysis. And really, once you get to the day of, that's when just mock drafts are churning, blogs are churning, and you never know. Maybe we'll have some more concrete thoughts on specific trades. Right now it's just, oh, this team might want to move up, that team might want to move up. Maybe by that point we'll have some more concrete thoughts.
I hope for the sake of entertaining radio on draft night, when the PFW guys are on the air, I hope that the Patriots trade to move up and do not pick Robert Quinn. I mean, well, I think you'd see Andy's big fat head just explode.
Right, because when they make the trade, at a point that the Patriots, if they were to make a trade to move up, as long as they do that at a point that Robert Quinn has not been taken,
yeah,
Andy will assume.
And I just think for good entertaining radio, he might resign. I mean, you never.
He might.
He said he'd just walk out.
Maybe
on
we
us.
Should root for that, Kevin. Actually,
yeah,
now that I'm thinking about it,
you could
that.
get a spot on the noon to two show. A seat would open up, if you will.
I don't know if I want that.
Oh wow, he's
I don't know if I want it.
Hollywooding PFW in progress.
I might have some demands to make before they let me.
Well, yeah, address your demand letter to Fred Kirsch, and you'd have to see if you could come to some sort of terms.
I know people. I'll reach out to him. So we are back next week, 12 to 1. This show, if you're listening and you want to listen again, or if you just stumbled upon this toward the end, 2 to 3 on Thursday, it re-airs, and then, of course, also as a podcast. I also mentioned, don't forget, Patriots Today with myself and Lindsay Petruni. We have one more draft preview to go. That's the defensive line position. That'll be up tomorrow. You can go back in our archives and see every other position as well. We've got some interesting stuff, too. We've got an interview I did with Scott O'Brien, who actually has a really interesting perspective on the pre-draft process as a special teams coach, because he sort of needs to have an idea of everybody in the draft. We'll have that coming your way on Patriots Today. Today, some other very interesting pre-draft content between now and next Thursday as well, so you'll want to check that out. My thanks to Kevin. Special thanks to Rob Rang of NFLDraftScout.com. You can check his work on NFLDraftScout.com and CBS.com. He joined us today. We will be back next Wednesday, 12 to 1 Eastern, inside the draft room.
This is John Hanna, Patriot Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.